You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
All right, Donovan Mitchell lays out the blueprint of how the Cavaliers can get back in this series, how they can even things up, steal home court advantage. Obviously going to be a very tall order after what we saw yesterday, 120-95, just decimation at the hands of the Boston Celtics, who were having a 2.5-hour pep rally yesterday in Boston. I'm Anthony Lima. You can hear him right now on the show. Matt Derry always does a terrific job. He is in Detroit, but you know, you felt that. I don't care where you were watching that game yesterday. You felt that there were just two different levels playing on the same floor yesterday, Matt.
I think that was Chris Fedor that asked that question, was it not?
Yeah, it was.
I thought that was a really good question. Like, it's true. Here are the numbers. What do you got to do differently? You know, sometimes these reporters, because they know they're going to be on like NBA TV live, they're like, oh, hey, you know, they try to jazz it up. I thought that was a really good question. I think Donovan Mitchell's right. I mean, getting into the paint, the kickouts, scoring, finishing at the rim. I mean, we talked about Evan Mobley, who at points during the Orlando series missed a few chippies. He's got to dunk the basketball and finish at the rim. There was the one last night. Was it the Marcus Morris layup where he was just under the basket alone? The Celtics just let him score. And he just bricked it off the rim, and you can tell he's like, oh, geez, he just lost where he was on the court. You can't blow those opportunities when you're playing this Celtic team. Boston is just too good, man. They're very good. It's going to be a very tough road to hoe here, but, my gosh, I mean, all these road playoff games, they're all blowouts. They got to be competitive. They got to be in the game before they can win the game.
Yeah, it has been a reoccurring nightmare. So we know one thing that the Cavs were able to pull off. That was against Orlando, getting to the rim. A lot of it was Donovan Mitchell, obviously. That 50-point night just will be a forever solidified all-time great Cavalier playoff moment, and they lost. But he was getting to the rim. Darius Garland at times has gotten into the paint, but it needs to be so much more. That is what I'm noticing. And I wonder if that's also what Donovan was talking about when he's outlining ways that they can be more productive and get over 100 points. It has to be attack mode. It's not just going to be, hey, let's hoist up a bunch of threes. They can do that, but if it's based on a lot of the penetration and kickouts, that's when that ball gets moving. That's when defenses are forced to scramble. That, I think, is when they can get an edge. So I think a lot of that actually does start with Darius Garland. Matt, here is JB Bickerstaff on what Garland needs to do to get going.
Keep believing in him. Keep showing trust in him because we know what he's capable of. You know, there's things we can get him more off the ball, things where he doesn't have to fight pressure to create everything for himself. I think, you know, the more we move the ball, the more open looks everybody's going to get. So I think that's something that we can focus on for game two.
He's capable of doing it. You saw it against Jalen Suggs with the game on the line in game five. He blows by one of the elite perimeter defenders in the league, and it set up Evan Mobley underneath for that go-ahead and eventual game winner in that game. Matt, he can do it. It's not like he's – I know the injuries have caused problems earlier in the year, but there's nothing slowing him down now other than what's in his head.
No. And like we said, I mean, the numbers are down. You know, he's had a rough year. This has not been a Darius Garland-esque year, but you figure clean slate, playoffs, new season, like get back to being the guy that was an all-star a couple of years ago. It just hasn't happened. And last night was the same type of thing. I mean, a minus 19, 6 for 15 from the field, 2 of 8 from 3. But again, if you're not making your threes, which in this league, it's all about making threes, but then you got to drive to the basket and be aggressive. And it just wasn't there last night for him. And then on top of that, he gets hit in the head again. Thank God he stayed in the game. But I know people will say, well, you know, JB's saying put him in different spots. Well, when Donovan Mitchell's cooking Everybody else is going to stand around, and Donovan's going to do his thing. The problem is, eventually Mitchell has to take a break, get a breather. And so when that second lineup's out there and Garland's kind of headlining that, that's when it's got to be his time. And I'm not seeing it right now, at least not consistently.
All right, so you knew this would happen, and we're starting to get the tweets. You're starting to see some of the pundits weigh in. So Marty Call on X, and as always, that reaction brought to you by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Marty says, national NBA pundits are blasting the Cavs roster, zero support for Mitchell, and question why he would stay here. Look, we're hoping to delay that question. I think it's common sense. It's been the elephant in the room for 2 years. I actually think Donovan has been nothing short of a professional. He has been terrific. Anytime this has been talked about, he has been able to deflect and do it in a way that seems very supportive of the team and the organization. What do you think right now is on the mind of Donovan Mitchell?
I don't think it's where am I going next year. I don't.
I don't either.
I think he wants to win. I think he's looking up and going, this is my chance to elevate a franchise to spring a major upset and get us to the conference finals. Because if you get by Boston, you know, I think when the Cavs be fit, I know that they've had their issues with the Knicks. And look, Indiana's going to give the Knicks hell tonight. I think Indiana's going to win that game tonight. So, I mean, I think Donovan Mitchell's focused on what's in front of him. Now, you want to keep him in this town? There's only one thing you do. And you do what the Bucks did with Giannis. You do what the Bulls did with Jordan. You did what the Cavs have done in the previous with LeBron. I mean, how many more? I mean, we can go, you know, team by team. The stars pick sometimes end up picking the coach. And I think that's what's going to happen. I think J.B. Bickerstaff's going to be gone, and I think they're going to give Donovan Mitchell a lot of say in order to want it to keep him here. That's just how the game
now,
works.
Matt, I was trying, and I gave a disclaimer at the start of the show. I didn't want to talk about firing J.B. Bickerstaff. We had enough of that during the Magic series.
Sure.
And in all fairness to J.B., like, and I get it, the theme of them not scoring 100, the theme of them losing on the road with J.B. as a coach, that all absolutely falls on a coach. I just, watching yesterday, I didn't have a fix. But I didn't have a coaching fix that was going to sway the series.
No, but Anthony, we should be sitting here talking about the game last night. But they got their asses kicked. They weren't even, I mean, you know, when it was like 23-21, you're like, all right, this is great. Donovan's cooking. We're looking good. You give up 40 in the first quarter, and, you know, the game was pretty much out of reach by the middle of the third, and it was like, when are you taking the regulars out, and it's garbage time? That's what's unfortunate, and that's what we've seen for 2 years now, is that when the Cavs play on the road, they get their clocks cleaned. That's got to be fixed. Still a long series. Boston still has to win three more. But, I mean, yeah, it sucks that we have to have that conversation right now, because I'd rather talk about, hey, what an incredible game last night. They just fell short, or what an upset they sprung. And instead, you know, they got punked by Luke Kornet.
I've got to be honest, you know, having some nightmares of 2010, you know, LeBron in that series against Boston, it's one of the famous series in a bad way, obviously for Cavs fans, because, you know, they had done everything they could within the limits of the salary cap. They had traded all the assets, so they were running on fumes, and they were hoping LeBron could bail them out.
He was gone.
And that was the Paul Pierce, Ray Allen, Kevin Garnett, Rondo, Perk, Big Baby. Like, I think Rasheed Wallace is on that team. Like, I remember that series vividly, because after the decision, I just kept thinking back to that series. Was there anything they could do? I mean, who was the second highest scorer in that series? Was it Mo Williams? I mean, that's kind of how you feel right now, isn't it? That's kind of how you feel, at least after watching one game and then also watching that Magic series. It's Donovan Mitchell and everybody else.
It is, to an extent, but what the national people are not going to talk about is that, like you said, Donovan Mitchell hasn't brought it up himself.
No.
The guy wants to win. He's got a decent, you know, he's got a better roster around him. I think that's because we know that, because we watch the Cavs, as opposed to the national folks who go, oh, who do they really have? But yet, ask any GM, that they take Evan Mobley. Yeah, is Evan Mobley a little bit Charmin-y at times? Yeah. Could he be tougher? Sure. But there's good players on this team. And this team won nearly 50 games. So don't give me this, oh, it's like LeBron with Varejao and Boobie Gibson team. Stop. No, I don't think so. I think this is a better supporting cast. But again, A lot of the national media would love to see, you know, Donovan Mitchell pair up with Jalen Brunson and have two stars in New York. That's what gets clicks.
How are they going to feel about Anthony Edwards if they go on and win the championship in Minnesota? He's going to be stuck there.
Right.
They're going to go on a two-game losing streak next year. Does he want to leave? Does he want to get out of Minnesota? You know that's going down.
Give me a break. I mean, the Timberwolves they got so many guys nobody's ever heard of, but they play defense.
Yeah, they do.
Oh, my God.
They do. And the new rules benefited them. I really believe that. We'll talk about that. That conversation is there to be had. In fact, I'll bring it up with Joe Vardon coming up in 10 minutes. Chuck in Shaker, next up on The Fan. How are you, Chuck?
Hey, good morning, guys.
Hey, Chuck.
You know, listen, you know, when I watch the other games, it seemed like the Cavs, when you compare the Cavs players to the other games, the players, it just seemed like they don't have a lot of pure shooters. You know, it's like, you know, when they get under the basket, they just throw it up, you know, and hoping they go in, like a hope and a prayer. They don't have a really smooth hook shot. They don't have a ball where it's going to swish through the net. It's always like, you know, like, it just don't seem like them guys are just pure shooters. It just seem like, to me, that's what they need to get. A guy that can put the ball in the hole, a big wing that can put the ball in the hole and help out Donovan. You know, that's all.
All right, thank you, Chuck. I will say this, and I'd take them no matter how the ball went down through the hole. I don't care if it's off the backboard or the top of the backboard. I don't care. Got to make shots. I think this is part of the issue. They went and got Max Strus and proclaimed him to be
the guy,
one of the great shooters.
Right. Yeah,
Matt, anybody who's followed his career knows he actually does a lot of things pretty well. One thing he's never done at an elite level is shoot the basketball. That's just never been him.
But the problem is he had such a good playoffs last year.
And at times,
like,
yeah.
That, you're right. It was like, you know, the Max Strus game and for the Heat in the finals. And it's like, oh, you know, I don't blame Kobe Altman for going and getting the guy. I don't.
But you know, that was part of the offseason was the gravitational pull. He was the gravitational pull guy that they kept talking about and bringing up. So it doesn't matter whether he was good or not beforehand, or if he's not been good so far this season, for them to have a chance, and it's why I put him on his step-up list or whatever we did power rankings earlier. He's got to be better. Yes. He's got to hit those shots.
Well,
if they're
going
to have any.
And the problem is he is not a guy that can create his own shot.
He did it in Game 7.
Yeah, he did. He was a huge part of that turnaround in Game 7. So you know he's never like – he's such a streak shooter. In a lot of ways, J.R. Smith. J.R. Smith was a big-time streak shooter. He was never – J.R. Smith had some years where he was like 40% from three. But overall, I mean, he had his streaks. Man, Max Strus, it's like three bad games, one good one. Four bad games, one good one. Kind of streaks in the negative a little too much for my liking. And he's not the difference in the series. Don't get me wrong.
No,
I'm not piling on here.
And I think also they thought, especially because during the regular season at times, Sam Merrill was like, oh my gosh, this guy's on fire. This is exactly what we need. NBA's turned into a drive and kick league. Guys camp out in the corner, and this is what we need. Well, last night he got a chance, and he missed all four of his threes.
And it didn't look particularly good. It did not. All right, when we come back, Joe Vardon. He is somebody that has the pulse nationally of the Cleveland Cavs. He was down in Boston yesterday. Was he believing what JB and the players were selling after the game when they – thought it was a feeling out process. Can they make the adjustments and come back? Can't wait to talk to Joe Vardon when we come back here on Sports Radio 92.3 The Fan.
Against them, you know, especially coming from a series that we just came from that was, you know, more of a slugfest. You know, we'll learn from it and we'll be better on Thursday.
Apparently, seeing is believing for JB Bickerstaff, the Cleveland Cavaliers, kind of acting after the game like it was more of a feel out game. Well, they felt it. They felt the full brunt of it against Boston. To talk about that and so much more is Joe Vardon from The Athletic, Anthony Lima, Matt Derry in for Ken Carmen. Joe, welcome to the show. He appears on the North Olmsted Racer Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. I think they felt it yesterday, Joe.
Yes, they did. I thought basically your read-in was the vibe that I got, and so I kind of took that approach with my story too. Like they got blown out again. You know, this is the third blowout they've suffered so far in the playoffs, but this one seemed to be more instructive than like alarming. Like they got a chance to look at the Celtics, see what is coming, and then now they have to adjust. You know, it reminded me, and I know this was a long time ago, and I know, you know, that all the teams are different, but in a way, there was a semblance of that Warriors series in 2016 where the Warriors put so much pressure on you with their offense that, like, one crack at them, one game is not enough to explain what you have to do to stop it. And that's what Tristan was saying after the game last night, that, yeah, like, that year, that summer, it took the Cavs two full games to figure out what to do at all, and then they messed up the game plan in game four. So it takes a while. And I just think that's what we're looking at here. Like, yeah, the Cavs are pretty significant underdogs. Last night did not go well. But if we're going to give them the benefit of the doubt that they're going to get in the series, you know, we have to allow for a game or two for them to catch up to the speed that the Celtics play.
Joe Vardon joining us right now on the hotline. So, Joe, one thing that was noticeable yesterday, it seemed like the old LeBron years, 2010, I brought up the Boston Celtics series with Donovan Mitchell in the role of LeBron James, doing it all and not nearly enough.
I thought he was good. I mean, he's been good, right, for like three games now in a row. It was, Anthony, I guess to look at this half empty, there was a feeling of like, you watch this game and you watch the way the Celtics played and you say, well, what are you going to do? Like, what can you do? I did get a little bit of that, you know. I mean, obviously to beat the Celtics, they cannot shoot 26% from three, which is what they did last night. 11 of 42 is not going to be enough. So somebody has to be better, whether it's Darius Garland, you know, whether he gets himself going. You know, Mobley was good in the second half. Like, Strus has got to be there. Like, there does have to be somebody else. And you wonder if the Cavs will get these two bigs back in time to impact and change the series.
Joe, I bet you didn't go to the arena last night thinking you would see the Luke Cornette show, huh?
You know what? I didn't. One thing that was really surprising to me was the Celtics only had 4 second chance points last night, which it felt like they had 20 because this was another night where you, if you're Cleveland, you just gave up a million offensive rebounds. And Cornette was one of those guys who really, yeah, like he seemed to make an impact on both ends. You have another night where your bench gets severely outplayed, you know, between Pritchard and
hiring for your small business. If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and 3-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
And Cornette, I mean, those guys kind of ran the show with that second unit. And, you know, Karis wasn't very good. Sam didn't give him anything, missed all 5 shots. That's another area where it's been pretty inconsistent the entire playoffs.
Joe Vardon with us right now from The Athletic. So, You know, you're there yesterday and you're watching this Cavaliers team scramble. They're getting beat on the offensive glass. Matt and I talked early in the show, like the one adjustment that I do think they are capable of making, given their limitations, is to try and be a little more physical, actually probably a lot more physical. Do you think that'll be part of the discussion? Because against the Magic, they showed their toughness. They showed their physicality in those final three games. I think they're going to need to be that and so much more the rest of this series.
I guess. I mean, you know, the physicality is the number one, like, what do you want to call it? You want to call it a platitude? Is it a cliche? Like, it's what happens literally every series. Like, when you lose game one, you're talking about getting punched in the mouth. And if you won game one, you're talking about punching them. Like, we're always talking about punches and who's more physical. And, like, that is the playoff. That is the playoff. I think, you know, if you felt like you didn't see enough of that from the Cavs, I think it's more about just transitioning from one series to the other. I mean, you can't win in these playoffs without getting into somebody's chest and doing it over and over again. That's just how this goes. So I look at it more not from a mindset or like, oh, they got to change this to be more quote-unquote physical. Like, I think it's more about, like, are you able to rise to the moment and all that the moment sort of entails?
You mentioned Darius Garland before, and you just said rising to the moment. Is he capable, or has this been one of those years where maybe he just doesn't have it like he's had in the past?
Yeah, I mean, Darius has certainly been an ongoing discussion in these playoffs, and it's like, you know, we're back to the scene of the latest or the worst facial injury. You know, this is where he suffered it in December, you know, when he got hit by an elbow and it cost him 2 months. And I was wondering if that was on his mind, and then somehow, like, I don't know if he had another 10 tries if he could even do this. But he seemed to jump into Jaylen Brown's elbow last night. And once again, Darius is, like, on the ground, like, writhing in pain over a facial injury. And I don't even know how to explain, like, the math involved there for how many times this happens to him and the amount of bad luck that entails. But I just think it kind of all plays into it. Like, he hasn't really been the Darius we know this year. It's been a rough and choppy year, like, injury wise. And the worst thing that happened to him was here. And so, you know, you wonder if he's ever going to get back this year to that point where, you know, he can give you multiple good games in a row. And you wonder how much what happened here in December has to do with the year that we've seen.
Joe, I know maybe fans aren't going to care about this all that much because they just want Donovan Mitchell to sign an extension and then figure out how to get the rest of the team good enough for this team to win. But just in covering him this year, and especially throughout the playoffs, I am seeing a very, very fascinating guy that every time he talks, I'm dialed in. I want to listen to him. He's reminding me in many ways of LeBron, some of the leadership stuff. The way that he's taken Darius, you know, in that game seven, giving him the pump up speech and continuing to try to instill confidence. I think this guy is an amazing guy. And I don't want to be Pollyanna, but I feel like it's been very, very special having him here these 2 years. I really want to do everything we can to try to figure out a way that he could continue playing here.
as they say, the old saying, there's a lot of there. He is a complex guy. He's really smart. I think he's shrewd, and I think he is perceptive. You mentioned, like, some of the LeBron traits, and I kind of have to agree with that. You know, you mentioned, like, some of the positive ways that he, like, pumped up Darius, whatever, some of these other guys. Like, there's also been times this year where he's made some comments about a lack of maturity. Which LeBron used to do that too, you know? So I really do feel like this is Donovan's team. And then I think to the Cavs' detriment, the lack of clarity surrounding his contract situation really had an impact on this franchise for a lot of different times of the regular season. Lots of, you know, just it impacted everybody, you know, from the front office to JB to, like, teammates wondering, like, what Donovan wants and if he's going to be here. You know, so I think all of that stuff relates back to him. I know fans, like you said, they've been through this too much with LeBron. They're tired of, like, hearing all the reasons why it wouldn't work out. They just want it to happen. But yeah, like, I think, you know, when people talk about, well, maybe that trade wasn't worth it, no matter what happens this playoff series, no matter what Donovan says to them contract-wise this summer, I do think it was worth it. I think that going after him, you know, elevated this franchise in a way that it would not have been elevated. And for, you know, I mean, it happened, this is the sixth year without LeBron, I think. So 4 years removed from having LeBron here and going to all those finals, to get another star into the fold, I think it's pretty good. And like you said, it's been fun having him. So why wouldn't that be worth it?
Do you look at this, Joe, on the court and go, all right, Boston maybe is under the philosophy, we're just going to let Donovan do whatever he does and put up his points. Because that dude was exhausted by the middle of fourth last night. He was gassed. And if he has to carry them, then this will not be a long series, right?
Yeah, I think I that's a great point. And I did have that thought last night watching that the Celtics were going to be okay with Donovan getting his points, that, you know, no one else is going to beat them. And so, yeah, and that's kind of like what you saw is that somebody just like pulled up right next to me, like on purpose. That was weird. No, but that's what you saw. You saw a lot of pressure on the other guys, make it tough on them around the 3-point line. You know, and like the Cavs are only playing with one big right now, and the Celtics were kind of able to use that to their advantage.
All right, Joe, obviously the discussions about JB, they're going to become pretty moot if they just get run off the floor in four games. What do the Cavs have to do for JB to realistically save his job?
Yeah, I mean, that's all out there. And I think I don't think I can answer it, because if the rest of the series goes like what we saw last night, then it's going to be a very short series, and anyone would rightly be able to say, well, like, okay, beating the Magic aside, what really changed? And I think you'd have your answer. But the bottom line is, we don't know how this series is going to go. So like, if we're going to try to answer your question, like, what if they make it competitive? You know, what if this goes seven games? What if like they build some momentum throughout the series? I don't know if that impacts the decision. You know, I think like I have always thought that this is going to come down to who does Donovan want to play for. And if it's not JB, you know, with all due respect to him and to almost every NBA coach, there's only a few cities where it isn't like this. You know, the star player, like, you just have to give preference there. You know, that only doesn't happen in Golden State, San Antonio, Miami, maybe New York. Now, you could talk about the stability of those four franchises and the long-term success, point to that as a major reason, fine, but by and large, that's not how it works in this league. So, you know, I don't know what else to say. Like, yeah, they could make this a series. They could win. That would probably change some of the discussion, but I think it's got to come down to, like, what does Donovan need to be comfortable here?
Hey, Giannis fires the coach of Milwaukee every month, so come on.
Hey, real quick, Joe, odds for both of these guys, I just need a number, and then we'll move on. Odds that Jared Allen plays tomorrow in Game 2, odds Dean Wade plays in Game 2.
I don't – well, I'm
I asked odds, but then I wanted percentages, so I was very confusing.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't think it's incredibly high. I mean, Dean was running straight ahead yesterday.
Oh.
I watched him do it. He looked okay. Like, he was doing, like, sideline to sideline suicides. And he was moving all right. I know he was on the floor for shoot around. Jarrett, you know, I've seen him have a jersey on, like, almost every day since he first got hurt. But, like, he's never doing anything. Like, he's hurt. And, like, they're calling it a bruise, but, like, you know, I've done reporting, others have done reporting that it's, like, you know, Wagner's elbow, like, they're saying it, like, pierced his rib. So this is not a bruise in, like, how we would think about a bruise. This is something that is remarkably painful. And, you know, until he's able to, like, breathe comfortably and be able to move with some level of safety, I don't see it. Like, I asked JB, like, how close is he really? And JB gave me, like, a long-winded answer, which suggested to me that, like, you know, he's got to turn a corner that he hasn't turned yet.
All right, Joe, appreciate it. Hit up Modern. I think Modern's better than Mike when it comes to the pastries over there in Boston, but enjoy yourself. Less lines.
Thanks, buddy.
All right, take it easy. There's Joe Vardon in The Athletic. Terrific job breaking it down. I just realized, Matt, let's be honest. I think we see where this series is going. I tried to talk him up for a steal in game one.
You did it.
I don't know. Maybe my heart will be back into it tomorrow. But that was just so ugly yesterday. So I'm sitting there right before we went to break, and I'm like, man, what just a great guy Donovan Mitchell is to cover. And I realize fans don't care. Fans do not care. When you're in the playoffs and you're getting your ass kicked, they don't care about how a player ruminates about his life in the NBA or anything going on in the NBA philosophically. Nobody cares.
No,
they just
want
to win.
But it's a different era now than back in the day when we didn't know. I think we know these guys a little bit better. When you see Kevin Durant hopping on Twitter or X or whatever it's called now and lashing back at people, and you go, man, is he talking to me? You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, they're going at it with fans. There's more of an interaction. So when you see a guy like Donovan Mitchell, who seems, like you said, very genuine and soundbite, you know, a guy talks, and then it's 5 seconds later, it's on your phone. I see what you're saying. I think you have a point for sure. But yes, I mean, if they get blasted again tomorrow night, then it's like, oh my gosh. I mean, again with this, doesn't matter how great of a guy is or if he's staying or not staying. Like, Cavs fans want to see a dub. They want to see a road win here one of these days. My God.
All right, Mitch, I've been teasing it throughout the morning. I believe you have some from one of my favorite wrestlers in the history of the sport.
Yeah, the Nature Boy Ric Flair was in headlines yesterday. It was back on May 5th that he took to Twitter to warn followers to stay away from a specific pizza restaurant in Gainesville, Florida, claiming that he had been disrespected. Now, there was some footage that came from the incident that surfaced through social media. We have the audio right here.
You don't have to do this to me. If you really mean my family.
I'm not meaning.
I didn't do one thing wrong. I walked into the bathroom.
And you called on my kitchen manager.
Oh, you're a kid of my closet. Really? What world do you live in? No, ma'am, I'm going to give you $1,000 tip just to say to him, kiss my ass. Come on, sit here and talk to me like a man.
I'm not going to do that because I'm on the clock.
All right, Mitch. So Ric Flair looked like, if you see the video, and it was all a buzz on the internet yesterday, he seemed like he had had one too many. He's 75 years old. He's getting into it with the bartender. Do we even know why this argument broke out?
So this allegedly happened after Flair spent $1,500 at the restaurant and took photos of customers and staff. Flair said he was asked to leave because of an issue he had with the kitchen manager taking too long in the bathroom. And then the restaurant has actually come out since the video has been released, saying we have reviewed video of the incident that took place recently at the restaurant. We are proud of how our staff responded to the situation using and displaying our team values.
Okay, so Matt, there's a guy sitting at the bar that starts talking.
Chirping.
Chirping. because I think bad. I mean, I don't know if the guy's a regular or what, but the guy feels bad for how Ric Flair is treating, you know, the people behind the bar and the people that work at the restaurant. And he basically tells them, like, hey, yeah, I don't care who you are.
Right, cut it out.
Yeah, if we need to, we'll go outside. Here's my question. Who can Ric Flair take in a fight at 75 years old? Like, do you think you could take Ric Flair right now?
No.
Well, now, he's been drinking.
No.
But that might even be scarier. I don't know.
Pretty good shape for 75.
Well, for 75, yeah, right?
I mean, no.
He's been preserved by the things he's taking in.
Well, the other thing is,
he would break both of us in half.
How many retirement matches has he had?
I want the match right now.
Like, he's going to get another retirement match now,
he had
out of this.
The final retirement. It's been last summer, maybe?
The last one was pretty sad.
Yeah.
Like, it was some low-budget Jim Cornette thing or whatever they put together. It was not WWE.
Was he back in tights and the whole thing?
Is he really? Back in tights?
It was in Greensboro.
What? No, he had a heart attack.
Yeah, come on.
He had a heart attack his last match.
It was at the Sportatorium.
In Dallas.
You know what bothers me about him? He shows up at all these sporting events, and obviously they're going to pay him. He's still making money. But, like, don't go to the Ravens game in week 5 and be like, woo, I love my Ravens. And then the next week, I'm at the Panther game. Woo, love my Panthers.
He did that during the NBA Finals on this show.
Oh, stop. He's like Drake. Pick a team.
Well, don't say he's like Drake.
Is there anything else like Drake?
That has a different connotation today. After the wrap.
Sorry.
All right.
Allegedly.
Eric and Chardon, go ahead.
The one thing I wanted to let everybody know, I know a lot of people think that Ric Flair's personality or whatever is just on TV and whatnot. I lived down in Charlotte in the early 90s and actually did lawn maintenance and landscaping when I lived down there. And we took care of his property. This guy is
congratulations arrogant. On all your success.
This guy is arrogant, rude, disrespectful.
Wow.
He treated the people that worked for him like crap. There was a time I was out with my girlfriend. We went to Ben and Jerry's, line of about 40, 50 people. He walks right in, walks right up to the front. And the guy goes, sir, you need to get in the line, please. He goes, do you know who I am? And starts getting all arrogant with him.
Let me go ahead and do this.
Reckless speculation.
All right, Eric, we got to go.
Great.
Hey, look. Now, if he's wearing...
Start a Twitter account.
If he's wearing the bedazzled robe, I kind of think he gets to cut the line.
Yeah, that's the thing. If he struts up there in those sunglasses from 1982...
Not only that...
I'm giving him his chocolate chip mint or whatever he wants.
I think he gets to do a chop. I think he gets to do a Flair chop to somebody. It's Ric Flair. The guy is a master of entertainment. Let's go.
He just wants a cone of peanut butter and chocolate, sugar cone or whatever. Let's go.
There's certain guys that I think the Do You Know Who I Am card, I think it works. I think Ric Flair is one of them.
Well, yeah, but he doesn't need to be an a-hole about it.
It's part of the character, man. Can't break character. Like Ravishing Rick Rude when he was making fun of the women in the crowds, like he meant it. Come on.
Jake the Snake Roberts wasn't rude like that.
Unfortunately, his parents were kind of rude to him. All right, Matt Derry, we appreciate
his
it.
Father.
Coming up, it's Baskin and Phelps. We'd like to thank Joe Varden. We'd like to thank Mitch Spinell. Great Mitch, please. Owen, Big Country, doing a great job with all the audio today, making sure the show sounds terrific. With Matt Derry on location in Detroit. Seamless today. Tomorrow, oh boy, Jason Lloyd.
Lots of seams tomorrow.
Carrying the water for the Cavs. That's tomorrow here on Sports Radio 92.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.